How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists, episode number 142. My name is Andrew.
And my name is Michelle. Hello.
Hello. I am fresh off of a mission trip right now. And we're laughing because we're recording this before the mission trip. I'm just trying to think ahead of where we're going to be.
You're such a big fat liar. I can't believe you can do that. No, we are doing this beforehand so that we aren't delayed. Or you would just have to hear me by myself on an intro because no one...
And that's terrible. No one wants to listen to that.
But
We've heard your complaints, everyone. We're not going to do that. Don't worry. We listen to you.
I am actually just off of a webinar that you hijacked on the end of it. So that was fun.
I didn't, everyone. I was professional and I went in with the name...
Nope, don't wanna.
Because it asked me for my first name, my last name. I'm like, nope.
Don't wanna. Yeah. So that was funny. That was the, I saw a smart comment come through on the question section from a nope, don't wanna, and it made me stumble for a hot second. And I was like, there's only one person that could be torturing me during a webinar.
Does Tepe or does anyone record like the instant message part of that one?
I have, like, yeah, I get all the analytics.
Oh, you are in so much trouble then. Mm.
Luckily, Michelle said no one else sees it. I might have cussed at him afterwards.
Maybe. Yeah. Nicely. You said it the way I would have said it, though. You spelled it instead of actually saying the words. Anyways, can I read another review that we got?
Oh, did we? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so this one is from Lisa O, RDH. It came September 17th, 2018. The topic is relevant, current, top-tier info, exclamation point. So already, thank you, Lisa. That's awesome. Five stars. She says, Michelle and Andrew, keep going. You have awesome, inspiring, knowledgeable, top-tier guests. Always good info to help keep the practicing hygienist current, as well as inspiring ideas for those who may want to branch out their careers. I've been listening for over a year now and always look forward to the next guest. Lisa O'Sullivan. Oh, she actually put her name in there, RDH NYC.
Oh,
so thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much. Listening over a year. That's amazing.
What if she's going to be at Greater New York?
Oh, if you're going to be at Greater New York, like, send us a message.
Because we're going to be there. I would love to get a picture with you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. I also have, so, you know, on our website, tale2hygienist.com, you can send a contact form and contact us, and or you can email us, but this is through the contact form, and it came from Rona, and she said, I just want to thank you for sharing this podcast and the resources it provides for our profession. I recently took a CE course on nutrition and shared a little bit about gut health with the participants. Dr. Odiatu is a wealth of knowledge, and I love his willingness to share. Maybe I can reach out to him soon, which he would love. He's so
he would love that so much.
So I'm so glad that that one spoke to you. I really love when you guys send these and tell us like what content like tugged, you know, at you and your maybe heartstrings or maybe a patient you had helped you with. We just love hearing that. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had some new developments this week too. I don't know if we're ready to really announce that we're on Spotify, but there it is, everyone. We're on Spotify now. So if you are a music listener and you just want to flip back and forth between your music and the podcast, now you don't have to switch apps. You can just stay in the same app.
And we are working on Alexa. So you can be like, hey, Alexa, play A Tale of Two Hygienists. And she'll be like, there's your episode 142.
Yeah, we're really excited about that one. That one's, I mean, there's like this code that has to be written in programming, blah, 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 because Alexa has skills, you know, and yet someone has to program the skills in. So we're working on that. Hopefully that'll come soon. But how awesome would that be? And if it does come to fruition and someone actually does that, please record it.
Please.
And send it to us.
We would love
that'd
it.
That'd be awesome.
So cool.
Like that's, can you imagine like the cavemen coming into nowadays and they're like, Alexa, I'm like, who are you talking to? And then, so good. So good. Like doing all of the things without like, there's no one else around and these things are happening. Like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Sorry.
You thought about that a lot. So one thing I'm thinking about though is our awesome Zerk offer this week. Zerk, the supporter of the podcast for many months now, giving you guys awesome promo codes. Mm-hmm. So this one we're talking about Mirror Magic. And you and I both love Mirror Magic.
Yeah. I would say stay tuned to the very end of this episode to listen to what Michelle and I were going to do for this this little promo. Because I'm sure it'll find a way into the episode. It was awesome. But yeah, but Mirror Magic is something we both believe in. And this week they are offering the promo code for a trial kit. So the cool thing about trial kits, as you all know, is you don't have to order a whole big quantity of it. You can just try it out, see if you like it, see if it's for you. The special offer for this week is $15 off of that trial kit. It's normally $25. So that is a huge discount. The promo code is TALEMM, TALEMM for Mirror Magic.
Give it a try, guys. You won't regret it. And then we have a friend that's been listening to the podcast. You knew her. I just met her, actually, but really glad that she was able to come on the podcast and talk to us a little bit more about HPV.
Yeah, Diana Corbin, you actually, some other people, some of your listeners actually might know her. She's out there in the dental hygiene world, and she actually was helping out Shirley Gutkowski on her podcast before. She was on CrossLink. Yeah, she was helping out with the CrossLink. And so she was very familiar with this podcasting space and the messages that go out over the airwaves. So she has a great message about HPV. We had talked a little bit before we tried to actually record with her under one roof. And then I'm still going to blame Michelle for everything. And so it's her fault somehow that we couldn't get our schedule figured out.
JetBlue.
So we really appreciate Diana for being accommodating and letting us reschedule that one. So that was really cool over. But I think you guys are really going to like this episode. There's a lot of great content. Get out your notepads if you're in a place that you can write some stuff down, because she has a lot of good stuff to share. So enjoy this one.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine.
Welcome, listeners, to the interview segment of this episode. We have Diana Perez Corbin with us today. Diana, we met online. We talked about podcasting. We talked about meeting up under one roof. And then ever since then, I've seen you all over the place online. You're very active, and I appreciate that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
when we were talking a little bit before, I guess I didn't realize that you already had kind of a radio background in this. This is going to be an interesting conversation with an expert now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shirley and I do some podcasts, and we did a radio show for about a year and a half called CrossLink Radio. Sometimes you have to be careful what you say yes to, because one day she said, I want to start a little project. Do you want to help me? And I was like, sure. And then all of a sudden it became every single day. So it was great. We had
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I met a lot of people. You know how it is when you're talking to different people about different things. So it was really fun. And I love the fact that you guys are doing this.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. But let's maybe get back to your beginnings. You're a hygienist. And what kind of got you interested in the field of hygiene?
My mentor, Gail, got me a job as a dental assistant, and so I wanted to be like Gail. And when I told them that at the office, they said, no, you want to be a hygienist. But I also used to clown. So I really wanted to go to Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus Clown College. So I applied to both. And
is
I
this
got
for in- reals right now?
This is for real. This is no lie. This is absolutely the truth. So I really wanted to go to both. I mean, I wanted to go to clown college really first. And I applied to both, and I got into both. And I told my mom, and she said, you're going to be a hygienist. You're not going to be a clown. So I went to hygiene school.
She wasn't in love with clown college?
Well, she wanted grandchildren, A, and B, she knew that hygiene would probably have a longer longevity, which, of course, you know, unfortunately, the circus has ended now, which is sad. But anyway,
yeah.
here I am.
Do you ever bring your clowning into the ops?
I have on occasion, and I still go to senior centers and do birthdays and singing and that sort of thing, and they love it. And, you know, interestingly, some people are afraid of clowns, which you kind of have to be a little careful about. So it's really
fun. Isn't
that
the most bizarre thing? It's one of the top things people are afraid of.
I know. It's weird. I don't even understand, but they really are, and they really get freaked out. So I have to make sure when I'm coming somewhere that no one has that fear because it's terrifying to them.
I'm pretty sure Stephen King did that to us.
I was thinking that, yes, all these clown things. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And so after that, you've been in hygiene for a little bit. Now, what keeps you interested and motivated? What kind of projects are you working on?
I do some writing. I do speaking. I love to help mentor people. And I just do a lot. I'm a lifelong learner, so I do a lot of in-person education. So I think that's really the important thing for me is to I got back into clinical hygiene about 8 or 9 months ago. I've been in sales for about 10 years. And I think the most important thing is to have new information for my patients. So, and I love patient care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we brought you on today because we really wanted to hit the topic of HPV. It's something that I don't feel like I'm adequately knowledgeable about. And so please, I mean, I'm going to have you take it away here in a minute and just realize, like, talk to me like I am day one student, year one dental hygiene school. Like, I know almost nothing about it.
Okay.
What can you share with us?
That sounds great. One thing that I want to say first is I think most of us have heard a little bit about HPV, but sometimes people don't know, or a lot of the time, people don't know how to talk about it. So, you know, as you're going through your college days, Andrew, you're going to hear more and more about HPV. And being a man, I love men in the operatory. They can have a different kind of conversation. They don't get all tangled up like women do. So today's going to be sort of like a 101. I mean, it's not going to be a 101. But what it's going to be is a way to talk to your patients, how to introduce it to people. And even if it is a 101 for some of your listeners, that's great because they're still going to learn a lot of information. So we're really...
Perfect.
We're really going to... Sorry. We're really going to talk about the why and the how and why we need to talk about it, why we need to educate our patients, because it really is the number one cause of oral cancer now. We do a good job of educating about oral cancer, but I think that's because it really has a good demographic. It's the older guy usually who drinks or smokes, and those are the ones that we really look at maybe a little bit harder. But, you know, now we have to look at everybody because HPV is really in the conversation. So, you know, you might want to put like a little tiny toe in the water when you're talking to some patients. Or sometimes with patients, you can just get down and dirty because the conversation gets started and they want to know a lot of stuff. Interestingly, I used to work for a company that I did lunch and learns and education on HPV. And, you know, the hygienist would usually kind of sit back. Well, first of all, they'd go to sleep after their lunch and have their coma lunch. But then the assistants. But I will tell you this, after talking about periopathogens and saying, okay, now we're going to talk about HPV, everybody would at least open their eyes. But the hygienists wouldn't say anything, but the assistants were the ones with no filter that would tell you everything. I mean, they would say, oh, yeah, I have HPV infection, or, you know, they would talk about it like crazy, and the doctors are looking around at their staff like, oh, you learn something new about it. You know, you learn something new every day. So So, you know, it was really fun. It was always the assistants who are ready to just talk. My daughter is a dental assistant, and when I worked for that company, she learned how to talk to HPV about her to her patients. So it's not just the hygiene, it's the whole clinical staff that really needs to know about it. So anyway, we have conversations with patients about a lot of things, and sometimes we'll bring something up and they may not even act like they're listening, but when they come back, they'll come back for their next visit, and they'll say, you know, you talked about such and such and I want to learn more about that. So, you know, sometimes they're not always looking like they're paying attention, but they really are. And if you have some nerves about maybe talking about HPV, you can act like it's a brand new idea, even though it's not. Sometimes if I want to bring up something up to a patient, I'll act like I just learned something. Like, oh, I just learned about gingivitis. And so you can talk about, you know, like it's a brand new invention or a new idea. So, you know, sometimes you can say something like, you know, we've been talking about oral, you know, while you're doing your oral cancer exam, we've been talking about oral cancer for a long time, but now there's a new oral cancer, and you can kind of get started with that, and we'll talk about that. So we'll get started here talking a little bit how we're going to talk and educate our patients. Also, if you just can't talk about it or your doctor won't let you talk about it, you can just sort of do a little one sheet, or you can put a paragraph in your office newsletter, or you can add it to the paperwork. You know, we have so much paperwork now for patients. Just put in there, we would like our patients to know there's a new kind of oral cancer, and I can help anybody with that if they want some help on that.
I like that. That's nice.
Can I ask, is there a lot of people that push back and say they don't want that discussed? Do you know?
I have never really. You can kind of tell by their face. And when I'm talking about the way that I talk to my patients about it is I get started with my oral cancer exam. And, you know, we all talk about oral cancer in different ways. We are you know, most of us do an oral cancer exam, but sometimes we're not saying, okay, attention, we're doing the oral cancer exam. So I now give them a mirror, and I have them hold it and watch me, because a lot of people don't ever look in their mouth. They don't know what they don't want to look in their mouth. But, you know, it's sort of like a breast exam or any other kind of self-exam. You know, they're with themselves every day. So they know what their mouth looks like, you know, and I show them, like, I show them exactly how I do my exams so that they know what every part of their mouth looks like. They watch me pull out their tongue and look at their tongue, and I'm feeling around, and then I'm looking, you know, down, not down their throat, but, you know, you have them, and I also do a thyroid test on that. You know, I do the thyroid swallow thing, and I talk to them about that. But anyway, so we have a new oral cancer, which is the non-traditional oral cancer with non-traditional symptoms. So you're not saying, you know, it's called HPV right away, but you're saying, you know, it's a non-traditional oral cancer. And so sometimes, you know, that will get their attention, because usually when we say HPV, you know, we don't think of oral cancer, or we don't, you know, that doesn't even come to mind. But some, you know, somehow we've got to get them talking about that, to not only listening for themselves, but also their family. So I tell them that when they're looking in their mouth, they want to make sure that, you know, once or twice a week or three times a week, just look in their mouth, make sure there's nothing that looks different. And then if it doesn't go away in 2 weeks, just give us a call and we'll take a quick look. But the other thing is that it's not just all about the mouth, and it's really not about the mouth with HPV. It's really more about under their chin and down in their throat. And a lot of ENTs are now really the ones who are diagnosing HPV in patients, oral HPV, oral cancer in patients, because a lot of what brings them to that type of doctor in ENT is because they have an earache that won't go away, or they just have an earache. So that's when they start discovering it. The other thing that we have in our office is I found an ENT that we can communicate with that understands it. Because if I have a patient I want to refer, I don't want to have them call and say, my dentist called me because, and if they bring up HPV, I don't want the other end of the conversation to be, what? What are you talking about? We're an ENT office. I want them to be comfortable. I want them always to be comfortable. So there's a couple of different pieces, and you can go as far as you want or as little as you want, but at least if you've talked about it, you've gotten your liability, and you've recorded about your oral cancer exam and your documentation. So it is the number one cause of oral cancer. Usually, The HPV lives in the back of the throat, down under the tongue, in the tonsillar area, and then back even a little deeper, and, you know, the oropharyngeal cancers. So they're harder to find than our regular tobacco-related cancers or our alcohol-type oral cancers, and mainly because there's nothing to see sometimes or really nothing to discover. I also, you know, really palpate their lymph nodes, and they love that because it's like a little massage. But I tell them to, just feel around, you know, just kind of be conscious of that, and they kind of know what their body feels like. Because as I've said, you know, our traditional oral cancer patient, which is what we always thought about with oral cancer, was drinking, smoking, an older patient. But those patients, I mean, they're still very important, but it's really everybody now. It's not just our older drinkers and smoking patients. So, again, I talk about the non-traditional oral cancer with the non-traditional symptoms. That's what I call it. Really don't get squirmy, because you can actually just say that. Show them how to look in their mouth, ask them to look in their mouth, and tell them what to look for. And if any of those things, you know, ever last more than 2 weeks, to please call. Michael Douglas is a perfect example.
Yeah.
When he first came out with the oral cancer, first they just called it cancer, and then they started calling it oral cancer. But his story goes, and you may know this, that he went to his dentist and asked his dentist, or told his dentist, that his throat was changing, which is a big symptom. His tongue was sore, which is a big symptom. And he had
scary.
It is. And so they said there was nothing wrong. He was seeing also a periodontist at the time every 3 months. And same with the periodontist. No answer for them. So finally, he went to an ENT. And the ENT pulled his tongue out. And there was a tumor the size of a quarter under his tongue. And no one had found that. No dental person had found that. So, you know, he's a perfect example. And then finally, probably years later, he said it was HPV involved, which would have helped a lot of people way sooner if he talked about that. And also, interestingly enough, Blythe Danner's, everybody knows Gwyneth Paltrow, where her mom, Blythe Danner, her husband died of oral cancer, which was HPV involved. And she talks about, she used to do this great commercial about HPV. It was wonderful. Mm. And they don't really run that anymore. So, when people start talking about it, once it's on TV, it really is a truth. So another thing is, how it is.
For better or worse.
Yeah, your patient will come in and go, they're talking about gingivitis on the television. Do I have gingivitis? And you're like, oh my God. So anyway, sorry, I can digress sometimes. But
another story of this podcast.
I say Michelle digresses with the best of them. So
another interesting thing is that one of the biggest number of HPV-related oral cancers is in a senior center in Florida. So, everybody gets jiggy with it sometimes, and it happens a lot down there, apparently. So, it's not just the younger people, or it's not just, these crazy, sexual teenagers or whatever. So we kind of meet
those crazy sexual miscreants of the older generation that are in homes, huh?
They got nothing else to do.
Retired. They got nothing else to do.
You got to rate this podcast. You got to put
it's never clean anymore. I've definitely made Andrew never call it clean.
Well, that's good, because if it's clean, they might not listen. If it's a little funny then or kinky, they'll know people
exactly.
will listen.
Exactly.
So anyway, not that they don't listen. I don't mean that at all, but I mean that,
No, we know what you meant. Sex sells, man. All right, sex sells.
It surely does. So anyway, so we sort of meet them where they are. With teenagers, you don't just start talking about all this, heavy duty stuff. I just tell them that saliva is contagious. Don't swap cigarettes. Don't share your drink. Get an extra dollar for your mom. If somebody needs a drink, give them a dollar, then go buy a drink. Because, there's lots of things you can get there's lots of things you can get from saliva. And, one of them, they haven't, I think they're sort of pinpointing. And one thing I should have said at the beginning is I'm a dental hygienist. I am no expert in HPV, but for me, it's fascinating. So I've learned a lot about it. Mm-hmm. So, what I'm saying, don't take it to the courtroom or anything, but just, it's just information where you guys can dig a little, or others can dig a little deeper. So with kids, I talk about saliva, don't swap cigarettes, don't swap drinks, try to keep your spit to yourself because it's contagious, And they kind of know that for mono, but anyway, so, and it's also not gender specific. You know, men, boys, they, you know, have HPV too, or get HPV, or, and you don't really have to overdo it. You can kind of tell when they're done. So I teach my patients how to do their self-exams. I want them to know what their bodies are like and then what to do with that, which is if you see something or if you have one of these symptoms, just call us back and we will, you know, have you come in and we'll, you know, just help you. The other thing that's really important, and hygienists, I think, are so type A, and they're A, B, and C. And if I don't know exactly how to do something, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, they, you know, it's like, you know, if they don't have all the instructions or if they don't understand it or feel real comfortable, they're not going to do it. So we don't have to diagnose. We just have to refer. And, you know, if we see something that's suspicious, just tell them, you know, maybe they should go talk to their ENT. I find ENTs, you really also have to find an oral, you have to find the right referral sources for this, because not everybody believes it still. They still think it doesn't even happen. So don't be afraid to talk about it and then just help them find a referral source. And this is a great thing to sort of discuss with the staff so you, everybody knows how to go, how to do it. And it really doesn't happen that often anyway. I used to work for a doctor. We live in the country, and he would see things on our patients like head or neck or around their face. And he would say, you know, I don't like that. Why don't you go have it looked at by a dermatologist? And when he would leave the room, the patient would look at me and like, you know, what do you think I should do that? And I'm like, you know, I'd rather have you be mad at me and go waste your time than for you not to go and then find out later it really is skin cancer and it's a much, you know, worse state. Just refer, you know, tell stories if you, you people can use that one if they want to, but,
and yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you guys have ever noticed it, but sometimes there's like a black pimple or something on somebody's head. And if you don't know them that well, I really want to say, can you go have that looked at? But if I don't know the patient really well, I get nervous. So anyway, so the risk factors are really sexual partners, obviously. Our immune system is very important because that's really what gets rid of it. It's a virus. So antibiotics, of course, are not going to help us. Antivirals are a little bit, you know, they're thinking about the antiviral area, but right now they're you know, kind of unsure about that. But we really need to take care of our immune system and also our saliva and any bodily fluid, of course. So, you know, you want to make sure, even if you smoke, like you don't want to, you know, if you vape, you don't want to share your vape, you know, all that stuff. So I really talk to teenagers about that. The other thing about HPV is it stays put. Like if you have a transmission in the mouth, that's where it's going to stay. If you have a transmission in another area, that's where it's going to stay. Because it doesn't move around. It's not, it's localized. It's not systemic. So that is sometimes a question that comes up. Back to our immune system, I think it's very important for us to think about that. Because, you know, people 50 years ago used to sit on the porch at the end of the day and talk and kind of relax and unwind. And now what we do is we get back on our computer as soon as we get home and have five different things turned on. And, you know, we're always jacking up our immune system. We're never just sort of just chilling. So that's another thing I talk to my patients about because, you know, we're talking about complete health now in our offices. So, you know, the immune system is really our biggest weapon against that. We don't know if we really shed the virus. That's sort of unclear. I don't really think we shed it. I think what happens, it just becomes dormant. And, you know, if you have a transmission and you have a strong immune system, it just becomes dormant and it doesn't cause an active infection. And that's, again, the immune system. And then once the immune system gets low, then it starts rearing its ugly head, and that's when you have an active infection. Now, there are tests about HPV, but I think that in my experience, again, just my own personal experience, I used to work for a company that did tests for HPV, and the patients that came back positive would freak out because, first of all, it's like, okay, what's my old man doing when I'm not home? And then it's like, you know, where did I get this? And then one time, interesting, I had a dentist call. He called me, and he said he just wanted to test him and his wife, and that was it. So, you know what was going on there, but I was like, sure, you know, so he was a dentist. He could buy a box of tests and he did it. So, but I think it just causes a lot of confusion, honestly. So I don't really.
Are there also false positives ever with that?
You know, there's always a false positive with any kind of a test. Ours was pretty tight, but Again, I just feel like, first of all, I'd rather, if I'm going to have my patient spend money on something, it's probably not going to be an HPV test. And mm-hmm. I also want them to, I don't want them, you know, if there is an active virus. And the other thing is, if there's an active virus today, like you could test me today and I could come back positive, but you could test me in 2 weeks. And that's what I would do. They'd have to pay for another test and get tested again. And it's probably going to be gone in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's a lot of money and it makes them crazy. And it's just, I don't know. It's just not would not be my recommendation to my patient. As I said, it doesn't discriminate boys and girls, and there are vaccines. It is, you know, there's Gardasil was the first one. It used to be 3 shots, and now it's 2. There's some other now in the brand, in the world because of, you know, Gardasil ran out of its patent. But it really isn't.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. So it's still there. I mean, they still have it. But there are a couple of other ones. So what I tell patients, because my friends, hygiene friends, and my friends, you know, say, what should I do? Because they're vaccinating kids at like 12 or 13. They want to get them before the before they have any kind of sexual contact. But interestingly, when I was working, I used to talk to anybody and everybody, and there was a GYN who used to, he was a man, obviously, he had a practice, he was a GYN, he had a practice, and really his practice was HPV patients. So
really?
I called him one day and I said, you know, I explained to him what I did, and I said, can I come talk to you? And he's like, sure. So I go into his office, and there's both men and women in there, and when they would come out of being seen, they'd always have a little bag, so I guess that was their medication. But what he told me was that he would give Gardasil to his active patients because he felt that would like get the immune system boosted and charge it up, and he felt that they would have a better outcome. Now, again, he was a Western guy, you know, he was an American, so they always have sort of a little different take on things, which I don't think it's always bad. So, you know, that was just sort of an interesting talking point, I thought, is that he felt mm-hmm. like it would, you know, help his patients. And I don't think they're even giving it to, like, I mean, personally, it's really an anti-cancer vaccine. So why wouldn't you want your child to have it? You know, we give them shots for everything else. And not that I'm hugely against vaccines, don't get me wrong. But, you know, especially if you've ever had any kind of cancer in your family. And I really believe that cancer sort of follows the genes and the DNA. And I think if you could help, you know, everybody who goes through cancer with somebody wants to get rid of it, and it might help. Who knows? And again, I am no expert. But anyway, so the interesting thing about other vaccines is that in Europe, they have been giving boys the vaccine for 15 years. And we act like it's a, you know, terrible thing, but it's because the FDA, you know, it's all about the money. So they give it to both boys and girls. They've finally given it to both boys and girls here. And, you know, it's up to the parent, you know, to decide which way they want to go. And they should just Google it, look at the research. I had my youngest daughter was really the only one who could do it, and I had her vaccinated when she was like 17 or something, because by then she'd passed the 13 mark, but I had her vaccinated anyway. Do either of you have children of that age?
My oldest will be 12 this year.
And has a pediatrician brought it up?
Nope.
It would, you know, I love to like shock them. So why don't you ask the pediatrician? How about you, Michelle?
I'll put Allison on that.
God, I can't. Don't do that,
Lola.
Allison.
how old's Lola now?
I was gonna say dogs, or should I be doing this for my dog? Because that's my only child.
No,
my fur baby.
Oh, Lola, I love that. I don't know. That's a good question. But you know, I'm always shocking my doctor with stuff. You know, like, do you talk to your patients about oral cancer and HPV? And he looks at me like, oh God, here we go. But anyway, so there's many strains of HPV. There's over 200, so we don't have to worry about all those. What we have to worry about is 6 and 11, which is really, they're benign. They're like our papillomas, fibromas. So those are the ones, our warts on our hands. So those are the ones, you know, they are HPV related, but it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, there's anything further going on. So, you know, we usually have them removed, or we watch them on our patients orally. But 16 and 18 are really the ones that are related to cancer completely. It's very dangerous. You know, that is definitely cancer. And those are the strands that are found in the mouth too, 16 and 18. So those are the two that we really have to worry about. I don't know if you know, but Farrah Fawcett, you know, she died of anal cancer. I'm in a public place, so sometimes I whisper. But, you know, how
I did not know that, actually. I mean, I knew she passed from cancer, but...
Yeah, she had anal cancer. I didn't realize. It's like grandma, you know, you start whispering. But anyway, so it's like, and she had HPV-related anal cancer. So there's a lot of that, too. I mean, you know, it's just not vaginal cancer. It's cancer everywhere. So, and it's very common. In you know, anal cancer is very common. Sometimes people don't always say that's the kind of cancer I have, but that's what it is. So, you know, patients might even talk to you about that because sometimes patients know more than we think they know, and they love to talk about it. Sometimes I have to remind them I don't have a door on my room, so we got to kind of keep it down. So the HPV, you know, well, you know how it is. You lay them back and they tell you everything you never wanted to know. You've had that experience, I'm sure, both of you, right? Your mm-hmm. Your patients just start talking to you about things and you're like, can you open your mouth so we can finish the appointment, please? So anyway, so.
About stuff that doesn't even make sense. I'm like, how
did we get here?
Did we get here? I couldn't even follow the breadcrumbs back to the original thing. I'm like, what? But okay.
I know. They love you. That's why they talk to you like that.
True.
So,
true.
You know, so again, you know, tongue cancer, tonsillar cancer, throat cancer in the pharynx, oropharyngeal cancer is usually where it is. That's why we can't see it. That's why we can't always find it. Sometimes I'll see pictures and they'll say, oh, what is this? And everybody pipes up HPV. Well, I don't know what it is. And I don't think, you got to have some kind of a biopsy or something. I used to... the head doctor at University of Maryland throat and cancer department, I would go and talk to him. He was fascinating. And he says, we watch too much. We don't cut enough. He said, in my opinion, we don't cut enough. We'll watch it. It's just like decay. I mean, he didn't say that, but you know how we are. Oh, watch that cavity grow. He talks about, you know, if you see something, cut it out. Because he's had too much experience where it becomes worse and worse and then deadly. So he just really feels like we watch too much and we need to get on with it, which was kind of an interesting thought to me. And again, there's no difference in where the HPV virus is, whether it's in your genital area or your mouth or throat. So, and it doesn't move around, just to review for just a second. You know, the symptoms are, you know, an earache, a sore under their tongue. They have a lump or a bump that they're feeling, and anything that goes away. And, you know, we're always looking for anything that's red or black or something different. If they have pain swallowing, that's another really good something to talk about them. If they have a persistent sore throat or if their voice gets hoarse, you know, any of those things, a consistent cough or an earache. And, again, these are things that you can put on your one sheet to talk to your patients about. Most of us honestly have probably had some kind of a transmission at some point, unless we married the first person we ever kissed and have never strayed. So, you know, especially older women, they get really freaked out sometimes if you talk a little more about it, because they're like, what do you mean? And I just tell them, I said, look, I'm telling you this because you can tell your grandchildren. I want you to tell your grandchildren or your children. I said, it's nothing about has to do with you, but I want your kids to know about this because they're the ones who really need to know about it. I want to tell you two stories really quickly about two of my friends, and people are free to use them. A friend of mine's a hygienist. She has a bunch of kids, and her youngest baby, her oldest daughter was changing her youngest baby. Her oldest daughter is like 12. She had a wart on her finger, and she changed the baby, and the baby got warts on the right, kind of on the base of her spine, you know, like right above where the buttock starts. So that was just interesting to me because it shows you how even a wart is so easily transmitted if it's in the right stage. So it's just another piece of information. And then also a friend of mine, her husband, you know, they've been married for 1,000 years and they probably started dating when they were 2. But he was putting on a tie one day. They were going to a wedding and he didn't normally wear ties. So he was putting on a tie one day and he noticed that he had a lump. You know, when he was putting on his ties, he felt this lump under his chin. So he told her, she's a nutritionist. And so she, after the wedding, they went to the urgent care. And the urgent care said to him that it's, he also had an earache. He had this lump and he had an earache. So the doctor said, you know what, I think you have an ear infection. So he gave him an antibiotic. 2 days later, the doctor called him back. It was like a Saturday. So like Monday, the doctor called him back and said, you know what, I'm not real comfortable with that diagnosis. So I want you to see an ENT. He went to the ENT. It's stage 4 oral cancer, HPV involved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So first of all, he went to the doctor, because a lot of times we have a bump and we don't even think about it or forget about it or don't want to think about it. Second of all,
or a swollen lymph node. Who doesn't have a swollen lymph node every now and again?
Exactly. No, we have them all the time. And that's the other thing. When I'm doing my talk to them, I say, you know, we have these nodes. It just means you're fighting something. But that's why, you know, 2 weeks, or just give it a little time and see if it resolves. So the other thing was that they went to the doctor. The doctor didn't like his diagnosis. You know, sometimes I feel like doctors never think about me again as soon as I walk out the door. He thought about it a little bit. He called him, which is saying I might have failed, which...
That's huge.
Yeah, huge. And saved his life, honestly. He had a ton of radiation. There's not a lot of chemo involved. It's mostly radiation. And honestly, if you've got to have an oral cancer, this is the one to have, because most people survive them. Mm-hmm. And he's fine now. But, you know, if it wasn't for all those pieces, you know, who knows?
So from a clinical standpoint, what was in a stage 4 case, what could they have seen if he'd gone to the dentist? Anything?
Nothing, because he had a tumor down it was in his throat.
In his throat. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it was oral pharyngeal.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's usually the case. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying you can't see anything. I mean, you know, people are screaming, do an oral cancer exam. Well, of course we have to do that, but we also have to educate them on these non-traditional symptoms.
And I think what you mentioned earlier was the listening part. Can they swallow? Are they having issues? Is their tongue hurting? Like, things that you're just like, ah. Maybe it's allergy, you know, whatever. Like, I can't see anything. And then having that follow-up with the ENT would be a huge recommendation.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, just give them all the pieces. Or just say, look, if you see something you don't like or you feel something, just call us and come in and we'll talk, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, I try to make it sound as easy as possible so that they can... You know, they won't be embarrassed. You know, I talk about it like it happens all the time. And because I want them, we want to be important in their lives as their dental provider, because we really are complete health now. It's not just about, you know, scraping plaque off and picking calculus.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. How does your 101 feeling? Are you feeling like your student that knows more?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Of course. So I feel fully enlightened.
Are you going to talk to your patients about it next time you go to work?
I'm going to do my best.
I think the best place to start is just with them watching. Like, even now when I probe now, I say, I'm going to use my little ruler and measure your gum. You know, I tell them everything I'm going to do. So I hand them the mirror, and I start talking about the non-traditional symptoms of oral cancer. And it doesn't even have to talk about HPV if you don't want to. It's just the symptoms.
Well, I think I really liked the idea of, hey, this is something I learned, and this is going to be more of a, you know, hey, I was listening to a podcast, mm-hmm. something new, even though it's not new, but it's new mm-hmm. to me, you know, using that way of doing things.
That, I ease into that with a lot of things, you know, it's like, or if I'm temping and they've, you know, you've got perio everywhere, it's like, oh, have you ever heard of gum disease? It's a new thing, but we're talking about it now.
It's a new thing. It's brand new. Never before. It's just now being discovered in the depths of the Amazon. Anything else, Michelle? Anything from you?
No. I feel like a lot of that was really, even though I've heard it before, if you're not living and breathing it, it's, you need the reminders. You do.
Yeah.
And you do, because even if I talk to my patients about, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's HPV 12, I think. So sometimes I'm like, I can't recall it. So it's always good to have this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if you just make like a little one sheet, a little, you know, blur, 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 blur. But that's all you have to do.
Do you have a one sheet that people can use by chance?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I can send it to you.
And how might people get into contact with you for that?
They can email dperezcorbin@gmail.com, or they can hit me up on Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
which I find to be very useful for Diane and I to talk back and forth to Facebook Messenger.
That's the way we communicate. Yep.
Yeah. I'll put, of course, your email address in the show notes so anyone can contact you if they have further questions. Do you do a little bit of lecturing on this topic too, or is this just a passion of yours?
No, I do speak. So if anybody wants me to speak, I'll be glad to come speak to them. When I'm in person, you know, I have mirrors. I give everybody a mirror and they take it home with them, and we do it on each other. So you have a little practice so that you just have done it one time and you feel a little more comfortable. I think once you've done it, you feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we appreciate you taking the time this morning to meet with us.
Well, thank you.
I'd love to have you come back on another time if you have another topic you wanted to share. This is good.
Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah, I've got it. I'll hit you up on Messenger and let you know what I got.
Awesome. Perfect. Sounds really good. Well, thank you very much.
It's about that time. Grab your blanket and a glass of wine. It's story time with Michelle.
Welcome back to Story Time. It has been quite some time since I've done this segment. And in honor of our episode today, we are going to do an article from the Journal of Cancer Education on HP-related knowledge among dentists and dental hygienists. This comes from December 2016. So it's relatively new, still within 5-year mark. So here's the intro. Human papillomavirus, HPV, causes approximately 72% of male and 63% of female oral pharyngeal cancers. Thus, 11,000 oral pharyngeal cancer cases are attributed to HPV each year in the U.S. Additionally, while oral cancer rates are marginally increasing overall, HPV-associated oral cancer is increasingly significant. This can result in significant morbidity and mortality for the public's health and thus requires prevention efforts focused on HPV. On the cancer control continuum, prevention of HPV and early detection of changes caused by HPV can be key for reducing morbidity and mortality. Dental providers may be key agents to the prevention of HPV and oral pharyngeal cancers. Early detection of oral pharyngeal cancer is within dental providers' current scope of practice. And at this time, dental providers, dentists, and dental hygienists conduct secondary prevention activities, specifically screening for oral cancers. This practice is recommended by the American Dental Association, yet there is limited evidence to support this prevention behavior. In contrast, HPV can be prevented primarily through HPV vaccination. However, this is not a current practice behavior conducted by dental providers and is limited to primary care providers such as pediatricians and family medicine physicians. Thus, dental providers may need to become more familiar with HPV and its connection to oropharyngeal cancer in order to have an impact on patient health. Moreover, as the science confirming the association between oral cancer and HPV has emerged, the role of the dental provider is expanding to cancer prevention. Specifically, the ADA has stated that dental providers should educate themselves and their patients about the relationship between HPV and oral pharyngeal cancer. In order for dentists and dental hygienists to effectively incorporate HPV prevention and oral pharyngeal detection into their practice, knowledge regarding this emerging health issue is required. Previous research conducted among dentists and dental hygienists revealed limited knowledge regarding HPV, oral pharyngeal cancers, and the HPV vaccine. Further assessment of dental providers' knowledge on this health issue can provide a better understanding of the current knowledge, assets, and gaps among dental providers regarding the link between oral pharyngeal cancers and HPV. Thus, the purpose of the study was to assess dentist and dental hygienists' knowledge of HPV. And of course, I'm not going to read this whole thing because I encourage you guys to go and find it. And there's also a copyright issue. But so for the discussion, the findings from the study identify knowledge, assets, and deficits from dental providers and indicate specific HPV-related topic areas in which information and education can be provided. Although not significantly different, hygienists reported lower overall HPV-related knowledge than dentists, yet dental hygienists describe themselves as prevention specialists and spend more time interacting with patients, which may indicate a missed opportunity to provide HPV-related prevention information to their patients during a routine dental visit. While no differences in knowledge scores were found among dentists based on their communication frequency on HPV with patients, lower knowledge scores were shown by dental hygienists who reported less discussion with their patients about this topic. The relationship between knowledge and the patient interaction about HPV demonstrates a need to increase the provider's knowledge, a key step in the health literacy process. As dental providers are both agents and recipients of health literacy, increasing knowledge can improve the information provided to patients and increase the primary prevention of HPV-related oral cancers. Previous research with Maryland dentists also found knowledge gaps related to risk factors for oral cancer. Similarly, the authors called for additional health literacy research and promotion in the specific area for dental providers. Improving the health literacy skills of dental providers in the realm of primary and secondary prevention of HPV and oral cancers is needed in multiple settings, especially since health literacy improvements are needed among providers, not just patients. Inclusion of the skills-based training can occur not only in continuing education arenas, but also in the curricula of dental and dental hygiene programs. If dentists and dental hygienists are to be the next set of providers in HPV and oral pharyngeal cancer prevention, the knowledge and health literacy skills must be present. Results from the study indicate the knowledge gap in specific HPV-related topics, including the outcomes associated with HPV, curability, and prevention and screening for men. Rates of HPV-related oral cancers are increasing among men and therefore revealing an opportunity for dental providers to discuss the relationship between HPV and oral cancer, which could serve to reduce these rates. Even the knowledge gap in these areas, the sample of dental providers reported more correct responses than young adult women who were in the target age range for HPV vaccination in a previous study utilizing a similar knowledge scale. For example, 18% of dental providers correctly answered false to the question, HPV can affect women's ability to get pregnant, compared to just 5% in a sample of female college students. Similarly, 50-70% of dental providers correctly answered false to HPV can cause herpes, while this was correctly answered by only 31% of the college sample. It is hypothesized that knowledge of HPV can impact discussion of this topic and prevention of HPV and oropharyngeal cancers. Previous research has indicated the relationship between providers' knowledge and HPV and vaccine recommendation. However, this relationship was indicated among medical providers. Further training on this emerging topic is needed for dental providers to improve primary prevention and screening activities for cancer control. While dental providers demonstrate an adequate understanding of the relationship between HPV and oral cancers, there's a need for additional development of health literacy skills in order to facilitate the translation of this information to patients. Training of dental providers on health literacy skills could be integrated into dental and dental hygiene curricula and through a skill-based continuing education course.
Another good episode, 142 in the books.
And this is a content that just, it's going to continue to grow. We're going to really continue to need to know about it and really stay on the cusp of these things that can be showing these oral lesions in patients and causing cancer. Scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have discussions, people. Talk to your patients. Let them talk to you. Listen also.
Absolutely. So if you want to find out more, you are welcome to contact Diana. You can always send us a message on Facebook Messenger or within Instagram direct messages. You can like our pages. And guys, I'm going to start making a push for Instagram because I'm learning more and more about social media marketing and the swipe up feature in Instagram stories. You have to have 10,000 followers for that to happen. So we are not there. So let's everybody let's go and like Instagram for a tale of two hygienists.
I don't even know what a swipe up feature means.
Okay, maybe you could start. Maybe you just get yourself an Instagram and actually like our page. That would be a wonderful start, Andrew. Mm. Support our business. So
I will, everyone. I will.
No, he won't. And so if anybody else who has Instagram would love to like our page, that'd be awesome. But send us direct messages or Facebook messages. And you can always go to ataleoftwohygienists.com and email us at ataleoftwohygienists@gmail.com. And that's with an S, but I also have the without an S version. So if you forget...
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to cover us.
You know, try. So We appreciate all of your shares, all of your reviews, all of your feedback. You guys are the best. I mean, we just can't get enough, right? And the wonderful thing about this episode, it's for CE. And that CE is brought to you by PDT, Paradise Dental Technologies. And actually, somebody sent me a message asking about the Gleason guide, and you should definitely check it out. I can't live without that thing. And if you have questions about it, feel free to email me. I'm happy to answer them for you. And if not, you can find them on YouTube. I'm sure there's some Gleason guide to YouTube videos. So check those out, and your CE will go through CE Zoom. So CE Zoom, PDT, you guys are amazing. So another episode, or another one credit of CE coming to you from this episode, but we hope everybody enjoyed it and you have a great week.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, y'all. Hey, Andrew, do you ever get really frustrated when your patient is like mouth breathing and fogging up your mirror all the time?
I hate mouth breathers worse than you hate Comcast. Is that how you want to play that one?
It's just funny because I wore that shirt today.
If only there was a solution, Michelle.
What would we do? Oh, I think I know what it is. Have you heard of mirror magic from Zurich?
I don't think we can continue this.
We'll just go that way.
I feel like we aren't madmen trying to do 1950s commercials.
Advertising. Yeah. Okay. Just keep it with the Michelle and Andrew.
All right. Here we go. Ready?